And Kathy Dawes now, along with a couple of folks with the Manhattan Housing Authority, Joanne Sutton, Executive Director, Phil Anderson on the board and advisory board. And appreciate both of you coming in. I know Phil suggested this. There's a lot of confusion. You know, you've been before the city commissioners a couple of times now, and some, you know, it's been an interesting subject. But I guess, I don't know, Joanne, if you want to kind of lead off and maybe explain a bit of what's been going on with the Manhattan Housing Authority, all the work you have to do, and where you're kind of standing at this point, and maybe clear up some misconceptions along the way.
Sure. I think one of the questions that I've heard most often is, why has this taken so long? And so I just wanted to kind of give a little update about the timeline. We started this process in 2013, so it does sound like a very long time. However, because we are funded by the federal government, there's a lot of steps that we have to go through, and we did discover mold in the building in August of 2013. And we immediately began working with HUD and moving residents around to make sure that their health was safe and applying for HUD grants. We did get our HUD grant submitted in November of 2013. It took until 2014 for us to hear back from that. The next step was to make a plan for relocating the rest of the tenants, and once we got our approval to get our bids and what have you out there for remediation of the mold and the asbestos in the building. And so that was completed then in about March of 2016. And the construction contract was then actually signed in August of 2016. But it took several weeks, maybe even months, to get the design and get the bid work out and do all of that. So it's been quite a lengthy process.
And I know, Phil, and you expressed to me a couple of times on the phone after some of these meetings is the frustration of waiting. When it comes to HUD, comes to the federal government, it really is somewhat of a waiting game, if you want to be sure you get real close to the mic there, Phil.
I will. Dealing with HUD can be very frustrating, and let me do an analogy, for example. If we were dealing with the city of Manhattan, any of us could pick up a phone and find somebody to talk to in a matter of minutes. If you're dealing with the state of Kansas, it's going to take maybe a couple of hours. If you're dealing with the federal government, it could take 3 months. And so at every step of the way, when Joanne and her staff and the board would make a decision and submit an application or a request for approval, it could be 3 months before we got anything, a response back. And so that slows the whole process down. So if the general public and the people who rent from us are frustrated, you can't imagine how frustrated Joanne and her staff and the board is in having to take this much time to accomplish something that is so clearly needed. You have to remember, this building is 45 years old. It has the original windows in it. The window problem we've known about from the very beginning, so none of this is a surprise. It has just taken this long to get to this point where we almost are ready to dot the I's and cross the T's and begin the process.
We just had windows replaced in my home. I can only imagine what it costs for a building of that size. And, you know, maybe we're assuming too much, Joanne. Maybe we need to remind people about, you know, where you're located and a little bit more about the structure and the history. I mean, Phil mentioned 45 years old. It's been there a while.
Yes. The apartment towers building is located at the corner of 5th and Leavenworth. The address is 300 North 5th Street, right across the street from the post office. Ever since I've been around, the last 30 years, it's been noted as the tallest building in Manhattan. It contains 88 dwelling units. Some are studio units, and some are one-bedroom apartments. It's a very strong structure. It's got very good bones. And when we're done with this project, it will be like a new building inside of an old shell. But, you know, and that was another question that we have heard, you know, would it have been better to just have torn the building down and started all over again? And the structure was just too good to tear it down.
And I remember visiting there some in times past, you know, when it was really active and things were going on. And interestingly, we just happened to have a story today about the new clinic that's also right down there now at the former Ray's Apple Market. I mean, there's all kinds of activity down there. It's perfectly situated in a lot of ways.
It's a prime spot, especially for elderly and disabled folks. The senior center is right there, and they can go over for meals or have their meals delivered. It's very close to shopping and groceries, and now the clinic, as you say, is right there. So it's in a very good place.
Well, Joanne, and I know there's been a lot of media attention, ours included. A lot of people have got, you know, especially appearing before the city commission the last couple of times. And I don't know if Phil wants to address this or you. We maybe need to explain kind of where the city left things with you and the next step. And any misconceptions along the way. I know there's been media attention. Some of it correct, some maybe not so correct.
Sure. I think one of the misconceptions is that we have kind of ignored the window problem or just waited until now to address it. And that's not true. We have known that the windows have been deteriorating for some time. We applied for a grant in 2010 to replace all the windows, and we're not approved for that grant. We did include the windows in our emergency grant application to HUD, and they did not approve replacement of the windows in that grant. And that's something else that's kind of taken us a while is to, we've been continually trying to figure out where are we going to find the rest of the money to replace the windows, because they were a big part of the problem to begin with. And so we have researched and researched and thought and toiled over coming up with this money, and kind of as a last resort, we were looking into using a program known as the Capital Fund Financing Program, whereas we would commit our capital funds towards the project, our future capital funds. And as we were speaking with HUD headquarters about this, we were actually referred to a consultant who advise us that we can actually borrow money without going through that process if we have an unsecured loan. That's not very bank friendly per se, because if you go to a bank, of course they want to collateralize things. If you're going to borrow that kind of money, and by going and working with the city, we are able to get an uncollateralized loan per se. We call it an advance. HUD seems to be more friendly to the word advance versus loan, and be able to pay that back over a 30-year period on a 20-year bond issuance. We've had many, many conversations with the city staff who have made this a pretty seamless process for us and very open and willing to assist. I think our city understands the need for affordable housing, and this would take 88 units of affordable housing off the market if we could not bring this project to completion.
I'm guessing, too, you don't want to do it piecemeal either. I mean, for example, when we did the windows in my house, now I have a bedroom that needs to be redone. I mean, but you don't want to do it that way. You want to do it the right way, I would think, while you're at it and you're in there and doing all that work.
Right. That is true. Like I said, the windows were a part of the problem. So if we piecemeal it together, it's still going to be a problem. And, you know, we also have other properties that we need to commit capital funds to as well. And in order to piecemeal it, it would take every dime of our capital fund allocation every year just to complete maybe not even a floor of windows. When you're working with contractors and they have to remobilize and they have to go into production a little bit at a time, it just gets more and more expensive. And so we really need to get the project done, and we need to make sure that we're not allowing moisture and air to come into the building, especially because a part of what helped us finish this project was an energy performance contract that we entered into. And in order to make that debt service, we need to see energy savings. It's our energy savings that makes that debt service. And so in order to make all the wheels turn properly, we need to get the project done.
Windows are critical, absolutely critical. I've owned, been in the rental property business for 37 years, and two of my apartment complexes, I used a local window company, Manco Windows. It did an excellent job, and we also used them on our bed and breakfast. The windows in the towers are Pella windows, very good windows, but they're 45 years old, made of wood. Wood up against concrete doesn't mix. And so the project simply cannot be completed until those windows are built and installed.
And it looks like we have a phone call. You'll both need a set of headphones to hear what our listener has to say. Welcome to In Focus. And again, you have Joanne Sutton, Phil Anderson with you today, Manhattan Housing Authority. Go ahead, please.
Great. Three great people in the same room. Anyway, how much has been spent to date on this remodel, rehab, or whatever you call it? And what do you think the final total will be with change orders, et cetera, and other things that you might find that need to be corrected, as you said, get it all done at once, do it right. But do you have a figure that a person could walk into, you know, a guesstimate?
I don't have the exact numbers with me. The contract for construction was approximately $4.4 million. The asbestos and mold remediation was just over $500,000. And we anticipate our final relocation costs for all of the tenants that we had to relocate, will relocate back to the building, are going to come in between $300,000 and $400,000. Now, as far as the cost for the windows, we're anticipating about $600,000 or maybe a little upwards of that. And we also have some sewer lines that were discovered during the project under the building that are deteriorated and need to be either lined or replaced. Now, we won't know which of those until we get into the project and can jet them out and get cameras down in there. But that's anticipated anywhere between $200,000 and $400,000.
So we're probably looking at somewhere in the round figures, $6.57 million.
Yes, sir.
If I recall, that thing's been there several years. I would suspect that that's probably more than the building cost to start with. And I'm just wondering, looking back in hindsight, which it doesn't matter, it's already been done. We can't change that. But maybe we should have just taken that building down and put a new one up, and then we'd have everything brand new. But that's hindsight, and we didn't know about those sewer deals. And we knew about the windows. The windows were no good from day one. It's a good, solid building. It's a great building, and I'm glad you're going to keep it there. But you're sure correct.
And those were some of the questions at the
fix
city.
Fix it right the first time. We don't have to go back and do it again. And all three of you are doing a great job. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks for the call. Looks like we might have another one coming in. But I know that, Phil, you had mentioned, and also Joanne, that at the city commission meeting, some of those questions had come up. And, you know, why not just demolish and start all over again? And you've, of course, addressed that to some extent. Let's go ahead.
That would have probably quadrupled what we're spending right now, or more. You're talking about 88 units, a high-rise, an 11-story building. Those don't come cheap, and so to gut it and put a new apartment in a solid structure is much more cost effective.
Let's take another call. I know we're a little bit overdue for a break, but let's take a quick call. Welcome to In Focus. Go ahead, please.
Is this tower going to have fire suppression sprinkler heads in it? And, you know, 100% of the problem was the former tenants. I wouldn't let a former tenant with a cigarette smoking and what was going on there anywhere near that building. Thank you. That's just a taxpayer talking.
The building does not currently have a sprinkler system in it. It does have a fire alarm system, but no sprinkler system. And that's something we have discussed. The city ordinances have recently changed, and we will have to submit a plan to the city by the first of the year for the installation of a fire sprinkler system in the building. Our rough estimates for that cost is going to be about a little over $800,000 to do that. So that's something we'll be working on. We have 11 years to have that installed. As far as the smoking goes in that building, We are about to implement a smoke-free public housing. This has been HUD mandated. It came out the first of the year or the last of last year. We had 18 months to implement. We have the policy written. We have notified tenants. And so we are in that process. And within the next couple of months, you will see a no-smoking policy implemented throughout all of our public housing units.
Appreciate the couple calls. Let's go ahead and take that break. It's now 9:49. Again, we have with us Joanne Sutton, Executive Director, Manhattan Housing Authority, and then Phil Anderson, a board member, and 537-1350. Appreciate the calls.